Well, good morning, church family. And for those that are visiting, welcome to all of you. My name is Jeff Fisher, and I'm the pastoral ministry assistant here at Kiye Baptist Chapel. And this morning, we're going to take a break from our usual series in Mark, and I'm going to be preaching from the book of 1 John instead. And our passage is 1 John chapter 3, verses 1 to 3. And if you happen to be using one of the church Bibles behind the seat in front of you, the passage can be found on page 1303, 1303. So it's 1 John chapter 3, verses 1 to 3. And the passage reads as follows. See what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called children of God, and so we are. The reason why the world does not know us is that it did not know Him. Beloved, we are God's children now, and what we will be has not yet appeared. But we know that when He appears, we shall be like Him, because we shall see Him as He is. And everyone who thus hopes in Him purifies himself as He is pure. This is God's most holy word. Let's come to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, I pray that You would use these lips to honor and glorify You today. Please, Lord, lift up Your people's hearts. Show them who they are in Christ. And may they grasp onto it, Lord, with all their might and live out all their days, knowing who they are in Christ. Oh, Heavenly Father, I pray for Your work to be done today. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So it wasn't too long ago, about a year, that my wife now and I began shopping for her engagement ring. So we started out at Kay's. We looked out online to see what was there. And then maybe a few weeks later, we finally landed at Harry Winston, which is a designer brand store. I had no idea. And when we got there, we saw this ring of exquisite beauty. And so, of course, my soon-to-be fiancé says, yep, this is it. This is the one. I like this. Her heart was so set on that ring. And so she tried it on. The salesman actually let us take a picture of it. And we got a catalog, and we asked all of our questions that we had about it, including the most important question, how much? $35,000. Okay, thank you very much. And that was the end of that. Back to Kay's. No, I'm just kidding, okay? But I was able to swing a similar ring for her, but much, 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 much more affordable. $35,000 for that Harry Winston ring. That's just how stunning and amazing it was. A wonderfully designed gem, making it of exceptional value. And that's what I think about when I think about this passage today. It's a wonderfully exquisite gem of a passage, exceptional in value to us as Christians, because it reveals to us who we are. Who we are as Christians. And it's just mind-blowingly wonderful, far greater in value than any earthly diamond. Now, to give you some context, before these verses, the Apostle John, he's just been pouring out one encouragement after another in the first two chapters of his letter. He exhorts the churches he loves to walk in the light, to confess sin, to forsake the world, to keep God's commandments, and to remain in the Godhead. And then he concludes chapter 2 with this excursion on who we are as Christians, writing that we Christians are born of God, born of Him. Verse 29 reads as follows. He says this, "If you know that He is righteous," meaning Jesus, "you may be sure that everyone who practices righteousness has been born of Him." And now he's going to get even deeper into who we are in Christ, because he wants us to know who we are and let that drive how we live. And that's the main idea of our passage this morning. Precisely, it's this: knowing who we are, that we're children of God, it drives and fuels and propels holy living. And we're going to see this in our three verses here. John tells us, one, who we are now, two, who we're going to be, and three, what to do from now till eternity. And that's my sermon outline for those taking notes. Number one, who we are now. Number two, who we're going to be. And number three, what to do from now till eternity. Beginning with point one, who we are now. John, he wants us to know and understand and have it forever etched into our minds and our hearts that we, you and I, Christian, are children of God. It's not that just that we have been spiritually given birth and given spiritual life, but that we've been taken up and we've been adopted into God's household and have been made His children. Look down at verse 1. John begins the passage with this. See, Christian. This is an imperative. It's an imperative word, meaning God is giving out a command through John here. But if you'd allow me to paraphrase a little, I think it's something like this. You have got to see this, because what I'm about to say is so amazing and so wonderful and so unbelievable that you're going to ponder it and consider it and be in awe of it forever and ever. So what is it? What is it that John wants us to see? It's the kind of love the Father has given to us. It's a unique love. And it's a kind of love that we could have never imagined we would get. In other words, John is saying, behold how magnificent, how glorious, how splendid, how distinctively excellent is the love which God has given to us, Christians. And he spells it out, what the kind of love is. That we should be called children of God. Now, I'm going to get a little bit theological here with you guys, so please bear with me. But I'm going to do that because if we stop and we think about John's statement here, it's just utterly amazing. You see that throughout eternity past, the Father has had but one son, one child, and that is the eternal Son. And He has always been the Father to His Son. And the Son has always been the Son to His Father. And the object of the Father's infinite love was His Son. Throughout all of eternity, He just continuously poured it out onto that beloved one. Love upon love upon love. And Jesus, He received all of it and in return poured it out onto His Father. His own infinite love back to the Father. Outside of time and space, they shared a love that is so good, so tremendous, so pure, so pleasant, so perfect. The Father only knew this one child of His, the eternal Son, throughout eternity past. But now through that one Son, that one and only Son, the one who he sent into his created world, the one who lived perfectly obedient unto his Father, even to the point of dying on a horrible cross, the one who resurrected so that we could have eternal life. Through that one, he calls us sinners saved by the blood of Christ, children of God. Children that he's growing, that are protected and provided for, taught and loved, much like we see in our world's families. But he does it so perfectly. How great a love is this? Now let's keep looking at this, as John says, because here is what is so mind-blowing about this. It's that the Father takes what is the scum of the earth and makes them his very own children. God the Father takes those that were once children of wrath, Ephesians 2:3, children of the devil, John 8:44, those that were once rebelling and rejecting him, resisting and hating his ways, deserving nothing but infinite punishment and torture in hell for their unbelief, he calls these and adopts them as his children. This is what we once were, church. Christ's life and his death and his resurrection can take a child of Satan, which is any and every unbelieving person, and bring them into the family of God when we trust in Christ as Lord and Savior. That's the power of the cross. It's not that we're just given spiritual birth and forgiven and let off the hook. No, Christian, you have a nobility. You are a son of the true and living God. You that were saved by his grace, you that have put your faith in him, you that had all your sins paid for by him and have been baptized into his name, are now a child of God. Well, what does that mean? What does that mean, Jeff? What does it mean to be his child? Well, first I'm going to begin with what it doesn't mean, and then I'll go with what it does mean. So I have two things to say about what it doesn't mean. And here's the first of what it doesn't mean. John doesn't mean that we're a child of God in a universal sense. These days it's really, really common to hear that everybody is a child of God. And yes, in a certain sense, that's true. We're all created and thus fathered by God. And Paul, he even refers to all people as God's offspring in Acts 17:29. But that's not what John is talking about here. We've got to remember the context. Verse 29 of chapter 2 identifies the child of God as one who is born of God and practices righteousness. And that's not everyone in this world. If it was everyone in this world would be a much, much better place. No, okay? That's the person that has had the Holy Spirit work in them to give them a new heart and a new nature. And that's not everybody. So John isn't using child of God universally here. And here's the second thing that it doesn't mean. It doesn't mean we're a child of God like Jesus is. Jesus is the eternal Son of God. We are the adopted children of God, meaning there's this aspect of otherness there. Jesus has always been God's Son. We weren't and would never be God's child unless Christ did his work on the cross. Jesus is divine. We're but creatures. Jesus has never, ever known sin. And we have a multitude of sin being covered over by his blood. So there's this distinction. And Jesus himself notes this dividing line after his resurrection in John 20:17. There he says to Mary Magdalene, "Go to my brothers," meaning the disciples, "and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God. So we as Christians, we should never claim to be a child of God like Jesus is to the Father. And so then, what does it mean? What does John mean by child of God? The way one author put it, and what I think John means here, is it's one who's righteous in Christ and is becoming more like him in all the facets of life. That's how I would define a child of God. Someone who has Christ's righteousness by faith and then looking to be like him. So we're not aiming for sameness with Jesus, but similarity. Not equality, but likeness. That's what it means to be a child of God. And then you can go ahead and qualify it with what it means to be a child of God by the results of our adoption. And these are such things as receiving the same love of the Father that Christ receives, having the Holy Spirit dwell in us, being disciplined by the Father, having the church as our family, and receiving an imperishable inheritance. And really, I was going to start preaching about these things, and I'd love to at some point, but each of these things is one sermon in and of itself. So I'll spare you and save that for another day. But John, he's going to speak of another result of our adoption that he considers so important, and so it must be addressed. He says there at the end of verse 1, he says, the reason why the world does not know us is that it did not know him. So as Christians, we're to be Christ-like. And one of the ways we are is that the world does not recognize us as we are in him. The child of God is unrecognizable by the world. And that's just the same as it was for Jesus, isn't it? Listen to what John writes about him in John 1:10. It says this, he was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. Those that did not have their eyes open to Christ had no idea who he was. If they had, they wouldn't have crucified the Lord of glory, which is what 1 Corinthians 2:8 says. And so, like the servant is the master, Jesus says, he says, if you were of the world would love you as its own, but because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Remember the word that I said to you, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. John 15:19-20. Maybe for some of you this morning, you're feeling that otherness from the world these days. I was talking with some of the men the other night about how we can connect with someone on all these different levels. Similar thoughts about this and that, similar likes and dislikes. We can even have similar stories. But then when we start sharing the gospel or our own testimony, or we start giving the hope for the reason that we have in us, there's this connection loss, and it's completely impossible to connect with them on this level. And John, he wants to tell us, don't be surprised by this. This is how it is until they are awakened and they're made alive by the Spirit as well. The world doesn't know you, Christian, because it does not know him. But, okay, rest assured that when they do believe in Christ, they'll know exactly who you are because they'll see you as they see themselves. They'll see you born of him and his child. Now, for others of you, what you're needing this morning is perhaps to know deep in your heart that you are a child of God. And you may not feel that way. You may be questioning, even how a God like our God could love someone like you. You may be thinking, I've sinned against him too many ways, that there's no way that I'm his child. But God's word for you this morning is, no, you are my child. If you've placed your faith in his son, if you have Jesus as your savior from sin, if you know that you're his follower and he's your master, then turn to the Lord. And if there's sin, repent. Turn away from it, because the Lord doesn't just call you his student or slave or servant. He calls you his son. That's what you are, Christian. Know that you are his child forever. And so that's point number one, who we are now. And point number two is this, who we're going to be. Go ahead and look down at verse number two. It says this, beloved, we are God's children now, and what we will be has not yet appeared. But we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, because we shall see him as he is. Brothers and sisters, our best days are ahead of us. Who will become, who we will become after death, or when Jesus returns, is far superior than who we are now. Now, some of us, we like how we are now. Not bad. You know, I could work on this or that, but overall, not bad. But John, he says, no. There's a you that's going to greatly surpass your present self, because it's going to be much, 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 much more like your Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, in some respects, John has no idea what we're going to be. And so there's this mystery. What are we going to look like? What age are we going to be? I don't know. Will all my hair come back? I don't know. Okay? He doesn't know. And looking at it from one angle, it's that you need to be it in order to know it. But we do know some things. First, I want to go into what we're not going to be, and then say positively what we will be. So to begin with, we aren't going to be in this body of sin and death, which means you won't put anything before our God. He'll always be the object of our worship. We'll never, ever misuse his name. Instead, we'll always find it to be precious on our lips. We'll also never do anybody wrong or wrong anybody. We'll never lie. We'll never slander someone's name. We'll never covet what isn't ours. Never lust after our desires. We'll never, ever take revenge. Never hate another. Never be abused or hurt or yelled at or assaulted. Sin is going to be completely gone. And with the sin gone, so will be sickness. That's some great hope for any of us that are chronically ill right now. We'll never have the flu or COVID or aching limbs or brittle bones. There's not going to be any doctors. No need to check up for your high blood pressure or your low heart rates or your cancerous lumps. And John, he wraps this up beautifully in Revelation 21:4, where he gives us a beautiful picture of what's to come for us. He says, he, meaning Jesus, will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away. No more being by someone's deathbed. No more attending another's funeral. That's what's in store for you, Christian. That's what's going away. And then there's what we can say positively as well, which is not Christ's sameness, but Christ's likeness. We know that we will have bodies that are imperishable, incorruptible, and powerful. We know that we will have joy like never before, and it'll just keep on increasing throughout all of eternity. We'll always do what's right and what's good and what's honorable. There'll be knowledge of divine things like never before, and we'll worship God as he is supposed to be worshiped, always speaking of him as he's supposed to be spoken of. And we'll be able to love God and love our neighbor as we have never loved them before, flawlessly. There'll be perfect holiness. We will be holy as the Lord our God is holy. In our minds and our souls will be glorified as he is glorified. This is our destiny, Christian, what we are going to be. And I simply love what John says here in verse 2. When I think about it, it's just absolutely exhilarating. He writes, "But we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, because we shall see him as he is." So theologians, they call this the beatific or blessed vision. Beatific or blessed vision. Before, it was by faith that we became who we are now. But when Christ returns, it's going to be by sight that we become who we are forever. Christ is going to come and we'll see him, physically see him with our two eyes. Finally, after all this time, after all this waiting, after all this pain and struggle and heartache and suffering, he'll come. And when we see him, instantly we'll be transformed into who will be forever, that perfectly holy, perfectly righteous, loving, incorruptible, and powerful being that only Christ could make us be. It's going to be, as one author put it, from our vision of our perfect Savior, there'll be assimilation, which means we'll personally see him, and we are going to be like him who we see. And Paul, he puts it like this. He says, "We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we shall be changed." 1 Corinthians 15:51 to 52. And then church, it's not just us, but the entire creation is waiting for this day when Christ will return. And we, the sons of God, will be revealed when we see our Savior, Romans 8:19. Because the creation, too, will be set free from its bondage to corruption and obtain the freedom of the children of God. So Christian, do you have a taste of who you're going to be? You're God's child now, and you're going to be forever, in a manner that is unfathomable and so delightful and so rich. It's that concept of the already, but not yet. You are, but you will be. So church, the future is oh so bright for you. Thanks be to Christ. The superior one of you is coming. And so what does that mean for you in the present? Well, we're getting there. Point number 3. What to do now till eternity. Child of God, your future is set and you will be glorified. And so John's going to tell us why not start living out that reality right now. Just live like the child of God that you are and live like you should, knowing who you'll be. John, he finishes our passage with this. He says, "And everyone who thus hopes in him purifies himself as he is pure." God is pure, and so his family should be as well. And Christian, you are to be holy as Christ is holy, the Holy One who died for you so that you can actually purify yourself. Well, okay, what's that look like? What does it look like to purify yourself? The New Testament actually has many instructions about holy living, but I wanted to give you just one from Ephesians 4:25-32. It says this: "Therefore, having put away falsehood, let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger, and give no opportunity to the devil. Let the thief steal no longer, but rather let him labor, doing honest work with his own hands, so that he may have something to share with anyone in need. Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up, as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you." This is what God is calling us to today, church. Purify yourselves and be more and more like your Father. Speak what is good. Act as you know God would have you act. Use your hands and your feet and your tongues and your eyes. Use all of them for the glory of God. Live holy and acceptable to the Lord. Now you might be thinking, man, Jeff, that's impossible. And that's exactly right. It's impossible. It's impossible with your own strength. That's what we all need to grasp. We don't have it in ourselves, in us, to purify ourselves. It's the same concept that runs throughout all of the Christian life. So let me ask you, Christian, did you make yourself into a child of God? No, through faith, he made you a son. How about this? Are you going to glorify yourself in the future? No, it's your vision of him. He's the one that will glorify you. Christ is our strength and our power for holy living. But we as God's children, we have to turn to him and access that power that purifies. And so my question is, are we even turning to him to purify us? We have to be brutally honest. We have to ask ourselves, do I really want to be holy as my Father in heaven is holy? And if so, what is that looking like in my life? Christian, what do you need to do these days to purify yourself? So I had to face this question myself. It was when I was about 4 years into my Christian life. And at that time, I started down a very, very familiar path of sin. I had given my life to Christ, and I knew that I was saved from my sin and for being forgiven for all that I've done against God. Yet there I was living as if I wasn't a Christian again. But then there was this moment that I had when I had this overwhelming realization and thinking to myself, no, this is not it. This is not me. I am a Christian. I am a child of God. I can't be going back to my old life. I am Christ. And then from that day forward, I just started completely living a different trajectory. By God's grace, I purified myself like I had never purified myself before. And thanks be to God, I've continued down that trajectory ever since. Now, I don't want you to get me wrong. I'm not preaching perfection, because I don't think we're perfectly holy until we see Christ face to face. I know that I'm not perfect. But what I am preaching today is striving and pursuing and longing and scratching and clawing and doing all that we can in Christ's power to be pure and holy as God is pure and holy. That's the way. That's the trajectory for us, because we are the children of God, and so we must act and we must think that way. So maybe today is the day of your realization, when you know that deep in your soul, you are God's child, and that as God's child, you are going to live as your Father wants you to live. And I don't know what it is that you need to purify. Perhaps it's coming to you right now in your mind, or maybe you don't even know. And if that's the case, turn to the Lord and ask him, and I'm sure that he'll bring it to your mind and heart. Or maybe just ask those that are around you that love and care about you. What ways could I be pure? But I pray purity is the route you go, Christian, because it'll be to God's glory, and it's also going to be to your benefit. Because you see, what's so beautiful about this is that the Christian is in this wonderful, wonderful cycle. As you realize and you know that you are a child of God, you pursue holiness and righteousness and purify yourself. And then as you purify yourself, becoming more and more holy, you'll know the Father even more and gain even more assurance that you are God's child. And this is what the Lord wants for you as his son and his daughter, to know you more. He wants to draw you ever so close to him as his child. So seek and purify yourself. That's what you're to do from now until eternity. Non-Christian, please know that the Lord wants you to know him as well as Father. He does. The Lord is not slow to fulfill his promises, some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance, 2 Peter 3:9. But you have a sin issue that needs to be dealt with. You're that child of the devil that the believer once was. You have God's wrath against you, and your judgment day is set. Jesus is coming again. And if you have nothing to do with him, no faith or no trust in him, then you could be assured that instead of being exalted in glory, you will be cast down in shame and agony, and you'll be absolutely horrified at what you'll become because it's unimaginable. So please don't play the fool, putting off trusting Christ or trying to trick your mind into saying that Christ isn't coming back. You do not know what tomorrow will bring. So call upon the Lord. Call upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Place your trust in him today. Let him wash you of all your sins and let him make you into a son of glory. Every now and then I imagine what it'll be like to be before Almighty God sitting on that judgment seat. And I picture him asking me this. Jeff, why should I let you be with me in heaven forever? And all I could do is bow my head and point to Christ and say, it's only because of him. He covers over my sin, and he's provided me the forgiveness that I need. But now through this gem in God's word, I know that I can answer him this way as well. I know that you'll let me be with you forever in eternity because I am your child. So know what you are, Christian. Know what you're going to be and live like that from now until eternity. Let's come to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word to us. I can't believe, Lord, what you have done, bringing us in to be children of God. Lord, help each of us that are yours to know in their hearts and minds, in our hearts and minds, that we are your children. And Lord, I pray that we would start living, if we haven't, as your children. Let's show the world, Lord, through your power and your grace, that we are children of God, that there's been this transformation. And Lord, I pray for anybody that doesn't know you today. I pray, Lord, that they would know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior so that they also can have that relationship with you and be with you forever as your child. I pray all these things in your most holy name. Amen.